Well, we're starting a new series today called For Wenatchee. And I almost talked myself out of doing this at all. Probably for some of the same reasons of the reasons why the things that you're thinking about right now too. You're like, because this is a series, it's 6 weeks that is a focus on prayer and evangelism. And if you're like me, when you're in a season of time like this, you know, the idea of evangelism especially just seems like, oh, why would I do that? I am just trying to survive. Like, I am just trying to get through the day. And for many of us, you know, you feel kind of overwhelmed. I certainly have times where I feel very overwhelmed, feel like there's lots on your plate. And the idea of reaching out to, you know, my family and neighbors and, you know, it seems like, Pastor, if you put one more item on my to-do list, I am just going to, you know. If you've had that response at all or you feel a little bit like this, just hang on. So what talked me out of not skipping this was just taking a closer look at, especially the way that we're looking at evangelism itself. And when I say this is a series about prayer and evangelism, it is more than anything, it's a series about prayer, knowing that as we pray and as we participate in God's work in the world, God reaches people, and that as we open ourselves up to reaching out, God has a way of filling us first. Did you know that you are blessed to be a blessing? Or one other question, I'll bring this up a little bit later in the message as well. Now, if you're like me and you look at the last couple of years, you're like, this has been hard. Would you agree with me? Now, so for some, you might say, this is among the hardest years I've ever known. Or for some, you just might say, hey, this is in my top 10. But would you agree with either of those statements, that either in the top 10 of the hardest couple of years, or it's up there? It's way, way up there. Right there? Okay. Okay, let me just see your eyes for a second. Now, it has been hard for us, and I'm assuming that those of you who are here in the room or those of you joining us, I know there's many of you joining us online, you know, that you know Jesus on some level. And it's been hard for us. Can you imagine how hard these last couple of years would be for someone that doesn't know about God's grace and love and sovereignty? Can you imagine? See, that's why we're putting a 6-week emphasis on prayer that leads to evangelism, that leads to outreach. Now, I wanted us to take a look at a passage in John chapter 17, and then we're going to spend a little bit of time in Luke chapter 5. So if you've got your Bibles, open up John chapter 17. We're going to look at verses 13 through 21. And here Jesus is, it's really kind of interesting because if there was a 48-hour period of Jesus' life where Jesus was under more stress, it was right in this section. So as he's teaching and talking to his disciples, and well, in this case, it's actually, he's praying, but he's making certain that his disciples can overhear him pray. As he is praying, this is right after the Last Supper, so he has washed the disciples' feet. He's given some of his most the longest, the most impactful. I mean, the disciples were clearly paying attention at this moment. You know, the I am the vine, you are the branches, all those things. And he's just getting ready to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he knows he's going to be arrested. And immediately after, he's going to be put on trial. And within the next, at this point, probably about 36 hours from this moment, he is about to be executed in quite literally the most painful way ever known to humanity. So he's got a lot in his mind. He's having a bad day too, so to speak. He's under stress too. Let's see what's on our Savior's heart as he's finding himself in moments like this. So I'm going to read through the whole thing, and then we're just going to go through it kind of verse by verse, because there's some pieces in here that I think when we just read it as a whole, we might just gloss over, and we need to hear it. Anyways, here's the passage as a whole. Verses 13 through 21. So Jesus is talking to his Father, and he says this, "I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they," the disciples, "may have the full measure of my," what's the word? "Joy. Joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their message." Who's he talking about? Us. A couple thousand years later, we heard the disciples' teaching. The word of God got passed on to us, and somewhere in our history, something sparked, and God brought faith about in our lives. But for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be, what's the word? One, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they, he's talking about all of us, may they also be in us, so the world may believe that you have sent me. So, you know, let's cycle back. Take a look on verse 13. So Jesus says this as he's talking to God. "I'm coming to you now. I say these things while I'm still in the world, that they may have the full measure of my joy within them." The joy. Why did Jesus want his disciples to overhear all this stuff? Because he wanted us to know his joy. How much of it did he want us to have? Full measure. Yeah, full strength. Full strength, joy. Full strength, full throttle, joy. Did you know that Jesus fills us with joy? Yeah. Now, it may not always be like, you know, lampshade on your head, swaggering around the room, joy. You know, that's not necessarily, you know, party animal joy. Although, for some of you, yeah, probably. That's true. But what you've probably experienced, and maybe you've felt even a measure of this in the last couple of years, is this sense of, like, even when you are going through a tough time, there is a sense of okayness, a sense of rightness. Like, the world is all going around you, and you're like, I'm good. I'm not sure why I'm good, but I'm good. Who would say, I've experienced a measure of Jesus's joy in me? Good. Jesus fills us with his joy. He wants us to know his joy. That's why he tells us this stuff. He knows that life is hard. He wants us to know joy. In verse 14, "I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world." So Jesus, he gives us God's word. Now, and we're increasingly finding that there's times where God's word ends up being kind of unpalatable to the world. So there's parts of God's word that the world has a very, very hard time hearing. Aren't you glad that we have the word of God? You know, that Jesus let his disciples overhear all this stuff. And John, he was probably in his late teens or his early 20s as he's hearing all this. And many years later, he would be thinking about it, remembering all this, and he would write it down. And you just think of century after century after century of these scribes and teachers that would faithfully rewrite. And until the printing press, which was invented, by the way, for the sake of the Bible, all these efforts to pass on God's word for us. Wow. Jesus gives us that. So that no matter what we're facing, we can have a perspective that goes beyond just the perspective of our culture. so that we can tap into deeper sources of wisdom than you can find on CNN or Fox News or Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or certainly TikTok. There are deeper sources that you can tap, and it's right here. Jesus is responsible for that. He wanted us to have God's word. And then he keeps going, my prayer is not for them, not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Do you know that Jesus protects us from evil in the world? Now, evil can still affect us. You felt its effects. But what it can't do is that evil cannot own us. Because your heart, if you've given your heart to Jesus, your heart is under new ownership. Now, that doesn't mean that bad things aren't going to happen to Christians. They certainly do. Sometimes they especially do, because the world hates what's going on in your soul. You know, sometimes as you take steps forward in faith, you're going to feel more and more and more opposition and resistance. But the thing is it can never totally take you down, because evil cannot own you, because you're under new management. Right? Isn't that good? Which is why we can trust in God's promises that even when we're feeling tempted, even when we're feeling under great stress, even when no matter what situation we are in, God will always provide a way out or provide a way through, because he's there with us in the midst of it. Doesn't mean you're protected from it, doesn't mean that you're guarded from every evil effect, but it means that you and I and we can never be owned by the evil that's in this world. And it goes a little bit further. Sanctify them, verse 17. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. What does it mean to be sanctified? Do you know? Holy, be made holy. What does it mean to be made holy? To set aside. To set apart. Yeah, being sanctified doesn't mean necessarily wear like a big Pope hat or something, though that's cool if you want to wear that. It means that you have been set apart. God has set you apart. We've been set apart for his purposes, for his plan. So what do you think we've been set apart for? Well, then we get to verse 18. As you sent me into the world, I have sent who? Them. And ultimately, who is he talking about? Us. Those who would hear and respond to the message of Jesus. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. This is why we are filled with his joy, why we receive the word of God, why we are set apart. We're set apart for all those things because he wants to send us into the world. Jesus saves us and Jesus fills us so that he can send us. That's why we're here. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And the message of that life-changing news has been entrusted to his people. We are called to be carriers of that message. Now, if you join one of our blessed groups this week, you're going to be taking a look at Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 11 this week. So I want to read just a little portion of it, because this is actually from right near the beginning of Jesus' ministry. But we see the same principle in action. That Jesus fills people and sets people apart in order to send people. We see that even as early as the call of Peter. And that's what we're going to take a look at here. So Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 11. When he had finished speaking, he, Jesus, said to Simon, later known as Simon Peter, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night. We haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Now, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Because you see, Simon, he'd been working. I mean, he was a working man. We can assume both from history and because fishing is hard, that most of his life, from a financial perspective, he was pretty frustrated. He was working his tail off and not seeing a whole lot of result. Anybody relate to that? And then Jesus shows up, gives him one tiny, seemingly almost cheap piece of advice. Hey, why don't you just, you know, do one little thing, and suddenly he is blessed with a windfall like he can hardly imagine. I mean, what would have been the equivalent of months or possibly even a year or more of income just boom, right there. That gets Peter's attention. But you know, as Jesus is blessing Peter, he's blessing Peter because he wants Peter to ultimately become a blessing. And that's what we see in the rest of this passage. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." See, you've seen that I can provide for you financially, right? "I'm going to keep taking care of you, Peter. But I've set you apart. I've filled you. I've shown you this. I've given you this blessing because I want you to be a blessing to others." Do you know even that the money that you've been blessed with God gave it to you to enjoy it and to provide for your family, but the deeper purpose of that is so that the funds that you have could be a blessing to the people around you, to be invested in God's work in the world overall. So they pulled up their boats. They left everything and they followed him. Because, you know, Jesus saves us and Jesus fills us because he wants to what? He wants to send us. He wants to send us. But, you know, as we talk about being sent, there's something we need to kind of get our heads around as well. Is it to remember that saving people, reaching people, it's not actually up to us. It's up to God. You know, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, I'm going to put this up on the screen. It's a passage about grace and how we're saved, but there's a detail in there that I'd like us to note today. So Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, it says this. "For it is by grace..." Can we put that up on... do we have that one? We don't. Huh, I wonder what happened. Okay, well, thanks. "For it is by..." New tech thing. "It is by grace you have been saved." Do you have this one memorized with me? It's by grace. If you know it, say it with me. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. So this... our salvation is not of our own doing, but also our faith is ultimately not of our own doing. Do you realize that even your ability to respond to God is on some measure is a gift of God? Like if you're hearing this and your brain is sparking and you're like, okay, yeah, I get it. That is the move of the Holy Spirit. You are not here, even if you're joining us online, you know, you're in a bathrobe somewhere, you know, and you are listening to this, you are not here by accident. The very fact that you are hearing this and understanding this, that is God's work in you. It is by grace you have been saved and through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's the gift of God. So one of the things that we, like why I was saying this is a series about prayer and evangelism is because the two actually go entirely hand in hand. Now, sometimes Christians get it wrong a little bit, where, and maybe you've been in environments like this, where, you know, as you talk about evangelism, it's like, well, here's what you got to do, and here's what you got to do, and it feels kind of like a sales pitch. So we, if you're like me, now some of you are already like super bold, you already totally know what to do, you don't need the tiniest bit of training about evangelism, you're just like, you're just amazing. But if you're like me and you're just a little hesitant, like anything that feels like I'm trying to manipulate a situation just feels weird to me. This passage contains really good news. It means that God never calls you to manipulate a situation. God never calls you to manipulate a person. If you're sharing your faith, the people around you are not like, you know, like the little icons on an airplane in World War II. Like, here, I got one more target. Or like the creepy guy in high school, the notch on the bedpost. It is not like that. As we share our faith with the people around us, all we're doing is we're participating in what God is already doing. The very fact that your friend has a friend in you is not by accident. God loved them enough that you are among one of the people that God has placed in their life so that they have some opportunity to see and hear the gospel. And you didn't orchestrate that. That was God's work. See, it's funny because, see, you know, as we pray, God moves. Or at least we that's why one of the reasons why we pray. But what we come to discover, can we put that up on the screen? See, as we pray, we see that God moves. But what we discover as we get to know the Lord is that actually as God moves, we pray. The very fact that you're hearing this, and if any part of what I am saying right now is making sense to you, that in itself is part of God's work in your life. That in itself is part of God's mission to reach the people around you. He is that sovereign over history. And he is that concerned for the world. It's by grace we have been saved through faith. And even that faith is not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. You know, even as I'm saying this, I can almost imagine, you know, it's people. Because here's what I'm going to be asking you to do, just to cut to the chase. Is in a few moments, I'm going to be asking you to be thinking about who are some of the people in your life that you're praying for. And I'm going to ask you to, with this little, you know, the little insert, to write down some names. Just as a reminder to yourself. Now, if you're online, what I'm going to be asking you to do, I'd love to have you comment in some way so we can be praying along with you. You may not want to list full names because, like, Facebook's a very public place. So you judge for yourself whether or not it's helpful to list full names. But why don't you just even, like, list first initial of either their first or their last name. And then the Lord knows. So I'm going to be asking you to share some of this stuff. But even as I'm doing this, I'm imagining like how even such a simple message of praying for our neighbors, of how as we start to apply ourselves and just make ourselves open to God's using us to reach other people, how that's going to land. You know, I'm imagining somebody, maybe you're watching the service online, you're in your bathrobe, you know, because maybe you're recovering from something, or the truth is you are just too wiped out to go to church today, like in person, but you made it this far, and that is awesome. And you're just talking to the Lord and you're saying, Lord, I don't know what you're calling me to do. And then you look out the window and you think, hey, it looks like the sun's about to break through. And then you see your neighbor's house across the street. And you think, I should bake cookies. And that's the whole thing. Just be open for God to do something. So maybe it's a plate of cookies to your neighbor. Maybe it's that conversation. But just to be open. Lord, how can you use me to bless the people around me? Because see, the truth is, you know, God sends all of us, and sometimes we think about, you know, we're being sent, like, you know, that means something like overseas or something really dramatic. I'm not really called to be a missionary, right? Well, maybe some of you are. You'll be getting an invitation next week. You know, we're getting ready to send another couple of teams up to Alaska, hopefully, you know, Lord willing, next summer. Maybe you're called to go with one of those teams. But, you know, the real ministry for most of us is the ministry right where we are. It's a ministry to probably first see your family, to your friends, your coworker, other people on your cul-de-sac, your apartment complex. You know those folks that a couple weeks ago we had that big snowmageddon and we all got outside and we're shoveling everywhere and you got to spend more time with your next door neighbors than you had in months or maybe years, and it was actually kind of fun. It's actually kind of nice. I love our neighbors. We got the best neighbors out there, 7 o'clock in the morning show. I'm learning how to speak Spanish, so I'm trying out my Spanish on them, and they're like, you know, like being super polite because I'm horrible. And it was, but it was great. I wonder sometimes if God allows things like this into our life just so he kind of shakes us up a little bit and helps us realize the very real life people who are around us all the time. So whether that was you giving aid to somebody else, or sometimes it takes just as much strength to receive help from somebody. But all of those things in our lives, all of those pass through the sovereign and loving hands of God. So what I'm asking us to do over the next 6 weeks is just be open, and to whatever degree you're able, intentional. So I'm going to ask you in a moment, and you can even take this out and you can start, and if you'd like to write down a few names of people you're praying for. And there's a tear-off sheet if you want to use it. You don't have to. Put it in, I'm going to go on a little trip here, so put it in one of the baskets around the building so we can pray with you about it. You know, or if you're online and you share an initial, and one of our online prayer leaders can be praying with you, or just other members of the congregation praying with you about it. Just to be open. Or even, honestly, if you're, as you're hearing this and you're like, oh, please don't give me one more thing to do. It's just to even take that first step of saying, Jesus, fill me. Fill me. I feel empty. Jesus, fill me. Self-care is a really great thing, by the way. You know, and so it's good to turn inward, but when we want to find the real strength, we turn not just inward, though inward is good. We start to turn upward. And we say, Lord, I'm pretty drained here. Fill me. And as you fill me, I want to be available. And if honestly, friend, if that's where you are today, just start there. Just start there. Lord Jesus, I'm drained. Just fill me. And as you fill me, I know that you want to use me. So fill me. So fill me. So with that, I just want to ask you, so who are you praying for? Who are you praying for? You know, in the little booklet, it gives some ideas of friends, relatives, acquaintances, neighbors, co-workers, those circles of influence around you. He might call you to another country. He might call you to something dramatic. But for most of us, most of the time, he's just calling you to be you. Right where you are. Just be available. Right where you are. He's not even calling you to do anything weird. I mean, you know when you're in a conversation and you're like, I feel really weird about this. Well, the person you're talking to probably feels really weird about it too. So don't do that. That's gross. It's weird. But just to look for opportunities in just normal, natural ways to share your faith. Can you imagine how hard these last couple of years must have been for anybody that right now does not know Jesus? Let me see your eyes one last time. I promise I'm almost done. Can you imagine what these last couple of years must have been like for someone that is going through the same stress and pressure and hardship and uncertainty that you've gone through, but they didn't know Jesus? That's why we pray. Because God wants to fill them with his joy as well. He wants to save them as well. He loves them even more than you do. And the people that are on your list, I know you love them. And God loves them even more. So who are you praying for? Who are you praying for? Can you take a moment and just jot down a name or two? And I also want to let you know, we're gonna do some of this next week as well. So if your honest place today, if your honest place is like, I don't even know if I can do that. Maybe the most honest response to God, even as you're looking at this to say, I'm not ready to do this right now, but Jesus, would you give me the strength so that someday soon I can? I need you to fill me, Jesus, because I know that you want to use me. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? And as names come to mind, you open your eyes and use your pen. It's not that kind of prayer. Lord, thank you that you have something for all of us to do. That you've called us to be a blessing to the world around us. The people who are closest to us. The people we have contact with on a day-to-day basis. Lord, show each one of us what our part in that might be. Show me, Lord, the people that you're calling me to bless. Show us, Lord, the people you're calling to bless. May we be a place where people find your strength, where people find your joy, where people find your purpose and peace. Thank you, God, that you have reached us. And thank you, God, that you desire to fill us so that you can send us and use us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.